Hey, it's Andy, and before we jump into this month's podcast, I want to tell you about a special event that I'm very excited about, our very first Catalyst One Day event. It's going to be held here in Atlanta on Monday, March the 26th at North Point Community Church. If you're not familiar with the One Day, our One Day events are simply One Day events where Craig Groeschel and I talk about the nuts and bolts of ministry. We do Q&A. This is a very low production, high content day. Marketplace leaders often attend, but it really is geared toward church leaders. This year, Craig and I will be teaching on the topic of creating a healthy organizational culture. Again, this is a very nuts and bolts application, practical leadership training for church leaders. If you'd like to register for the conference, just go to catalystoneday.com. That's catalystoneday.com. And we've created a special registration rate of $89 for our leadership podcast community. When you go to the website, simply enter the promo code ALP, that's ALP, and you'll get the discounted rate. So, love to see you in Atlanta on March the 26th for our very first 2012 Catalyst One Day.
Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll explore the question every leader should answer as we start a new year. Well, Andy, it's February, and we're a month into the new year, and that means a lot of us have already broken most of our New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
But today, we're going to dig a little deeper than just the usual resolutions we make.
Yes, specifically, instead of talking about a list of things that we all could do, I want to spend the next few minutes kind of probing around the idea of what's the one thing we must do. Again, this year, there's a lot of things we will do. There's a lot of things we can do. But as a leader, as a father, as a pastor, I've discovered that, you know, at the beginning of a new year, as I look forward, generally speaking, I can identify the one thing I must do. It's not necessarily a goal. It's not necessarily a New Year's resolution. It's that one thing that I think when I get to the end of this year, looking back, what's the one thing above everything else I hope I will have accomplished?
Can you give me some examples of what some of those things might be?
Yeah, well, I think for some of our listeners, it might be as obvious as a specific goal. It might be a project they need to finish. Oftentimes, it's a relationship that needs to be repaired. It's a marriage that needs to be addressed. Mm. It's a relationship with one of our kids that, you know, we've just let slide because of stage of life, because we've been too busy. This could be as specific as a habit that needs to be broken. If you're a listener and you're a smoker, hey, let's make this the year that you just kick that habit. I mean, you've been talking about it, you've been working on it, you've been hiding it. You may be somebody who simply drinks too much, and somebody said to you, hey, I think you drink too much, and if they've told you that, they're right, you know. It could be that practical. So again, This isn't necessarily business-related. This may be home-related. It may be business-related. It may be personal. But as you think about your life, the complete spectrum of your life, what's the one thing? What's the one thing, if you don't get anything else done, you just really need to bear down and address that one thing? And again, in the next few minutes as we talk about it, I have a feeling, if it hasn't happened already, that one thing will quickly surface because, generally speaking, we already know what it is.
So, Andy, this may not be a new initiative or something new. It could be something that's been present in your life all along.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, chances are it's not something new. It's something that's left over from last year. It's something that's left over from a previous relationship. It could be a specific financial debt that you keep thinking, yeah, I need to get out of debt. I need to pay that off. So, yeah, this isn't new stuff. This is stuff we just don't need to drag on into the next year or into the next stage of our life. If you're a listener and you're engaged and, later this year you're going to be married, hey, there's just some things, you just need to deal with them before you move into the next stage of life. So, yeah, this isn't new stuff. Most of the time, it's old stuff we've just never resolved. And so the challenge in this podcast is let's identify what it is, let's come up with a plan, and next year at this time, let's make sure whatever this is, it is in the rearview mirror.
Andy, as you said, a lot of these things were on last year's list as well. What is it in us that we lack the will to change?
Well, I don't know if it's so much lack the will to change. I think we lack the focus to change. We just don't keep it front and center. We get so busy with all the other, important things that we forget the most important thing. I think sometimes good things replace the best thing. So ultimately, it's a matter of saying, okay, I'm making up my mind once and for all. This thing is going away or this thing's getting launched. But when I get, 12 months from now, I'm going to look back and I'm going to make sure whatever this primary thing is, I addressed it.
Okay. Andy, I've heard you teach on it. In fact,
You wrote a great book called Visioneering about an example of really this kind of focused commitment.
Yeah, about 16 years ago, I taught through the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And the book of Nehemiah, or the story of Nehemiah, it's a fascinating story. In fact, if you're a podcast listener and you're not really a church person or a religious person, I would highly recommend you find a Bible, go to the Old Testament, and find the story of Nehemiah. It's actually called Nehemiah. It's an incredible story of leadership and vision casting. There are no miracles. This is pre-Jesus. It's just an amazing, amazing story that gets overlooked sometimes. Essentially, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He was a Jewish man who did not grow up in Israel. Israel had been conquered by this time by the Babylonians, then by the Persians. Nehemiah comes back to the city, and he has been made the governor, and his responsibility is to kind of get Jerusalem back into shape. He arrives, and I mean, everything about the city is wrong. There are no walls. There's no organization. There's no leadership. There's no army. There's been a famine. Economically, things are horrible. Nehemiah shows up with permission from King Artaxerxes I to function as governor, and he realizes there are 1,000 things that need to be done here, but the one thing I must do, I've got to get the wall rebuilt around the city, and I've got to repair the gates. And again, I won't go into all the details as to why that was so important, but it became very apparent. And when you read the story, you understand he had to rebuild the wall. So this is a story of a guy of extraordinary focus, again, refusing to get distracted by all the things that could distract him, and he decides, we're going to get the wall rebuilt. Well, as you read the story, you discover that by rebuilding the wall, that was economically threatening to some leaders in the surrounding regions who had been taking economic advantage of the city of Jerusalem specifically. And so they decided they wanted to get rid of Nehemiah, because if they could get rid of Nehemiah, the wall, the reconstruction would stop. And again, it wouldn't impact them financially. So in the middle of the story, a gentleman named Sanballat, I say gentleman, he was a regional leader who spearheaded this idea of let's get rid of Nehemiah. He sends Nehemiah a message, and the message said, hey, would you stop working on the wall for a day and come visit me in a village outside the city? Well, later on, you discover actually Sanballat wanted to kill Nehemiah. But when he gave him this message, Nehemiah sent a message back to Sanballat, and it was that message, and it was the statement in that message that just rocked my world and rocked Sandra's world, and it's something we have repeated 1,000 times since then. And here's what he said. He sent a message back to Sanballat, and it was simply this: I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. In other words, I don't have time to meet with you. I'm focused on getting this wall built, and I dare not get distracted. So this kind of became like the battle cry, especially when we had young kids and I was had all kinds of opportunities to do things, and Sandra was being invited to do all kinds of things. And we would look at each other. We would look at our family. We would look at this church we had just begun and say, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to say no to these opportunities. We're doing a great work right here, and we cannot come down. And that verse, I think, empowered us more than anything else to remain focused on the thing or those few things that we had to do, especially at that stage in our life.
Andy, as you said, Nehemiah had some bad guys that were out to stop him, but it's not always bad guys that are trying to distract us or stop us.
In fact, in our world, it's rarely that. It's always good opportunities, another opportunity to travel, another deal to be done, another person to meet with that, again, pulls us away from primary things. And depending on an individual's personality, for some people, saying no is pretty easy. For others of us, it's not so easy. And that's the problem. The bad things are pretty easy to identify, unless, again, it's a bad habit that somehow gripped us and we're in control of a habit. But generally speaking, these are good things we have to learn to say no to. Otherwise, we get to the end of the month, we get to the end of the year, and we've done a lot of things, but we've not done the main thing.
The other, you know, part of that, the Nehemiah story that it teaches is that the enemies that we do have can be relentless.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I really encourage you to read the whole story, because even after Nehemiah refused to meet with Sanballat, they just constantly came at him trying to distract him from finishing the wall. Again, just like the things that we contend with every single day. And when you read the story, eventually they do complete the wall, and there's this amazing statement that Nehemiah makes, that when the wall was completed, when the gates were in place, that the enemies outside that region lost their confidence. They realized, we've lost. It's over. And it's because Nehemiah stayed focused. And then he was able to go back and address some of the other concerns he had about the city. And he was able to go back and address some of the relationships that Jerusalem needed to establish with people around the city and with around that region. But he understood, first things first, we've got to rebuild the wall. And so the challenge as we start this new year and the challenge for this entire podcast is for leaders to identify, whether it's at home or at work or wherever it might be, what's my wall this year? What's the one thing I must do if I don't get anything else accomplished this year?
Two questions here. Number one, any tips on discovering, you know, what that one thing is? And then number two, how do we stick with it?
I think in terms of discovering it, it's a conversation with the people who are involved. I know for Sandra and for me, we sit down and we ask the question, what do we need to do this year? And again, at every stage of life, that's going to look a little bit different. So I think, and then in terms of marketplace, I mean, most of us set goals. We have the people who are direct reports set goals. And then one of the things I love to do with our leadership team is to ask the question, what's our biggest challenge this year? And what do we need to get accomplished this year if we don't get anything else accomplished? And again, that opens up to a discussion, especially what's our biggest challenge, or the other way I ask it sometimes is what's our biggest opportunity? As we look at this year with all the things going on in a very complex organization, what is our biggest opportunity? Because in the marketplace or even in ministry, again, you can get to the end of the year. I mean, everybody's going to be busy. Nobody has to set a goal this year, I want to be busy. But to miss an opportunity, again, opportunities, most of them only come along one time. So again, to ask the question, what's our biggest opportunity? And then what can we do to organize and prioritize and schedule to that one opportunity? So I think it begins sometimes with a discussion. I think at a personal level, I know what my one thing is. Corporately, it needs to be discussion. And sometimes with family, it needs to be a discussion as well.
And what about sticking with it? What are those?
Well, two things. Number one, write it down. Number two, tell somebody. That's it. It's number one, you know, write it down. Number two, tell somebody. And again, everybody has their own approach to this. In my closet at home, I don't have a very large closet, but it is a walk-in closet. I have a little cork, you know, tack board right there by my door. And every year I write down five or six things. I don't have 20. I'm not a super sophisticated goal setter, but every year, here are my objectives, and there's one that's related to family, one that's related to finances, personal finances, and one that's related to what we're doing here in the organization. So write it down and then tell somebody. After I talked to our church about this not too long ago, we got home and Sandra said, what's your one thing? You know, as you think about the year, what's your one thing? And we sat down and we talked about it because I wanted her to know, and she told me what hers was. And again, it's not accountability like every day, well, have you done it? Have you done it? Just by saying it, it creates, I think, a sense of accountability. Now, for the person who's listening and your one thing is a habit you need to break, my hunch is you've already tried to break it, and whatever you did in the past to try to break it didn't work, or we wouldn't be talking about it. So for something that's an addiction, for something that's got a powerful grip on you, my challenge is you're going to have to go beyond that. You're going to have to get involved in an organization that helps you. I had two people call me right after I challenged our church with this message, both marketplace leaders, one of them a CEO of a very large organization. He said, Andy, my one thing this year is my marriage. We've just drifted apart. Nobody knows we're having trouble. To look at us, everything's great. But as I think about where we were last year and I look at where we are this year, we're not moving in the right direction. So again, something like that's a bit more complicated than write it down and tell someone. But the fact that these individuals recognize, you know what, my one thing isn't corporate. My one thing isn't marketplace. My one thing isn't a habit. My one thing's a relationship. Relationships are emotional. Relationships are complicated. But our lives are no better than the health of our relationships. So maybe you're listening today and it's a relationship with a son, a daughter, a spouse. Again, that's your one thing. And hey, do whatever you need to do to get it to the place where you can be excited about it and enjoy it.
Andy, one of the things that you've done throughout the years that I think really helps in this is every year as our leadership team comes with their list of, you know, that one thing or those top two things, you follow up with a very important question.
Yeah, I ask all of my direct reports and even beyond that, our entire management team, which is about 14 or 15 people, to come with the three or four top things that they, in terms of our organization, they really feel like need to be done this year. But then I follow up and I ask the question, I say, what can I do to help? And we've talked about this a little bit. But as the leader of the organization, when I say, what can I do to help? What I'm saying is, how can I leverage my position, my influence in the organization, or my specific skill set? How can I leverage that to help you do one of the things that you know is mission critical to what you're doing in your organization? And what that does, first of all, it allows me to enter into their world and serve them, which is another whole discussion. But the other thing it does, it creates a sense of accountability because they've gone public and said, hey, here's the three things we have to do this year in our department, or here's the three things, two or three things we have to do. Here is our biggest opportunity for this division or department. So when I ask the question, okay, how can you leverage me to help you get that done? That creates some very healthy organizational synergy. And again, it allows me to get out of my world into theirs. And sometimes it just ensures that those things actually get done.
Andy, talk a little more about how this plays out in corporate life.
One of the things I would encourage our listeners to do is you think about, you know, what's the one thing we must do? That's a great question to take back to your team. And again, you have to be industry specific or ministry specific, but it could be as simple as the question I ask, what's our biggest opportunity? Not what are we planning to do, but as we look into the future, what's our biggest opportunity? That's a very important discussion to have, especially at the beginning of either a calendar year or a, you know, corporate financial year, what it might be. What's our biggest opportunity? Or then even to broaden it to the question we've talked about today. You know, what's the one thing organizationally we must do this year? What's the one problem we must solve? What's the one habit we must break? What's the one thing we must address? And of course, you know, when you're the point leader in a division or department or an entire organization, it's a little bit scary to ask that question because it's a little bit like, okay, to use Jim Collins terminology, I'm going to turn the rock over. I'm going to push the log over, and we may end up looking at all the squiggly things underneath that we really don't want to look at. We really don't want to address. But oftentimes, it's that junk, it's the messiness of organizational life that slows us down, that saps our energy, that diverts resources. And so sometimes that very open-ended discussion actually can redirect resources and redirect energy for an entire organization. So what's the one thing we must do? What's the one thing we must accomplish as an organization? Again, I think it pulls us out of the trees of all the dozens of things and the subpoints and the bullet points under the three things and refocuses around, and you know, in some cases, the one thing that may save an industry, may save an organization, or may save the future of a church.
Andy, as we wrap up the podcast today, would you mind sharing with our podcast audience the specific application that you shared with our church about how this applied to you and Sandra when your kids were young?
Yeah, when we started the church, we had two in diapers. Sandra was pregnant. 2 months in, we had our third child. And for our listeners who have young kids, you know what those days are like. And again, I was so incredibly busy getting this organization started. And so we would go in at night and we'd put our kids to bed. And after we'd actually would go in after they're asleep, like a lot of parents do, and we would just sit on the edge of their bed and we would actually say out loud, you know, looking at our kids, we are doing a great work and we cannot come down. Just to remind ourselves, as you know, when your kids are young, it's impossible to measure progress. And I love going to work because I can count things and measure things. And this week we had more than last week. And in those early years of raising kids, for a person who loves progress, those can just be some difficult years because every day seems to be the same. So that phrase was so powerful. I think even more so for me as a father to remember that even though I can't count this, even though I can't measure this, I can't put this on an Excel spreadsheet, that this was my primary responsibility because any other role I play, I can be replaced, but I can't be replaced as a father. So that, I think it helped me, it helped remind me that of all the things I do, this is the most important thing I do, and this is a wall I dare not come down from.
Andy, thanks so much for sharing that personal insight and also just for sharing this time with us today. And thanks to all our listeners for joining us. Don't forget to check out catalystoneday.com, catalystoneday.com, to learn more about the upcoming Catalyst One Day.